Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Anyone who owns a house knows, you know, you're waiting on your deck because you just don't want to pay four times what it cost before.
Yeah.
400% price increase since the pandemic.
Damn.
Joe Ceccarelli, our lumber guy, is on the phone now. What's the deal?
Hey, good morning, Chaz. Morning, AJ.
Morning.
Ashley, Phil.
Morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Morning.
Kind of honored this morning. I mean, I've never had Jimi Hendrix and weed open up before me, but hey, I guess it's a memento stay, you know? So anyway.
That's right.
It was time you had it.
Well, Chaz, what can I tell you? I mean, you know, this pandemic has led to a lot of increases in a lot of things, but let me just reset the clock here as far as the lumber industry goes. And basically, if you look back over the last decade, you go back to 2008, 2009, when we had a recession and housing demand was down quite a bit, you had over 30 major lumber mills in the United States close permanently. With that being said, housing starts were somewhat stagnant and started gaining in percentage upward over the last decade. And the mills that we did have were able to keep up with demand, and the Canadian mills that we also import lumber in from were also able to, too. But starting around 2017, 2018, we started to have a dramatic cutback on lumber production in both countries due to bug infestation and also wildfire.
Oh, wow.
To put things into perspective, okay, in the United States alone, in 2018 through 2019, we lost over 33 million acres of timberland. That's like setting AJ loose with a flamethrower and lighting Connecticut on fire 10 times over.
I'm willing to try it.
But long and short of it, one of the things that has happened is we went into 2019 in the winter with housing starts moderate and not a lot of log production or log inventory on the log decks.
So this is like the perfect storm.
You betcha.
When I say perfect, I mean the opposite.
Yeah, probably rotten.
Yeah.
And what's happened as a result of that, the pandemic came through. So now who's essential, who's not? Some mills decided to close, not permanently close, but close, and halt production because of protocols I had to put in. How do we put all these people into the mill? How many shifts can we run? So rather than running three shifts, maybe we run one shift. People were laid off, didn't want to come back to work,
right. And
the industry popped, and the demand for housing skyrocketed across the United States, not only for single-family but affordable housing projects, and then also a lot of the expansion of hospital and school and infrastructure.
Real estate people are saying they've never seen anything like this. Like,
just
never.
Stunned.
Never. Like, not 2006 or 7. Like, we've never built so many houses, bought so many houses, and when you buy a house, what do? You fix it to your liking.
Yeah.
Let me put it to you this way. Lumber is at the highest it's ever been. About 8 weeks ago, it was trading $200 less than an ounce of gold. And lumber's traded on 1,000.
Oh, my God!
Right. Lumber's traded on a per-thousand basis, which means per-thousand board feet, not lineal feet. But basically, lumber was trading at close to $1,500 a thousand FOB mill, which means that's the price at the mill, and then you add freight onto that. So now we've got record demand, low inventory at the mills, low production. People don't want to come back to work. Now you've got the lumber being made. Okay, let's put it on something that's going to get it to the lumber yards. Well, railroads have had the same problem with transportation. Independent truckers, trucking fleets that were, you know, let people laid off for the moment. It's been a perfect storm in the opposite direction.
And high gas prices, too.
Exactly.
Yep.
Fuel and everything else. Now, it's been throughout the building material industry. I mean, one of the major manufacturers of shingles, okay, is only making three colors because they need to produce as many shingles as they can. So if you want a blue-colored shingle, you may be waiting 8 weeks for it. But with the lumber side of things, fortunately, there's been some change in production Mill production, some of the mills are stepping things back up. And if you look at the future market, okay, because lumber is traded as a commodity, that $1,500 per thousand rate that it was at has come down to just under about $1,000. Now, that's on future purchases and shipments.
That's over the last month?
Over the last month.
Yeah. Okay. So we're seeing it come back to reality.
Correct.
Do you think we'll ever see it back to the reality we saw in 18?
Right.
Well, you're probably going to see it come down well under half of what it is right now going into 2022. You also have to understand, too, that lumber itself was very undervalued, okay, going into 2015, 2016.
That sounds like a lumber guy argument.
Not
like,
really.
We kind of like these prices.
Yeah. You know, I like
Let's
having all
chuckle.
This money. Right.
let me put it to you this way, Chaz, okay? All right, I don't care if a 2x4 costs me a buck and I sell it for a buck and a quarter, okay? If it's costing me $8, okay, I'm still selling it for the same markup, okay? Because I have to, because I can't have to be competitive with the rest of the gang out there. So
yeah, so you're saying you're still just making a quarter on a 2x4, whether it's $1 or $8.
It doesn't matter. We're making the same gross profit that we normally would. And then, you know, handling it, putting it on trucks, and delivering it with a smile on our face. What can I tell you, you know?
Yeah. So I think you make more than a quarter on a 2x4.
A little bit more than that. Yeah. But,
I saw a friend of mine selling a Corvette, had a picture on Facebook. Some guy goes, I'll trade you 10 sheets of plywood.
Exactly. I mean, let me put you this way. I'm waiting for shipments to come in, okay, with an armed guard for crying out loud.
Right.
I
mean,
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
If you jack a trailer load of plywood today, okay, it's like 70 grand. You know what I can get for that? You know, sell it off the back of a truck.
Oh, cash. Jesus. That's right.
You give me an idea.
I'm surprised we're not seeing those.
Right. The Coast Guard's pulling over now boats that have lumber on it from Cuba.
Well, there are kids.
Exactly. I mean, you know, not for anything. I mean, the hell with stopping looking for the, you know, illegal cocaine coming in. It's illegal lumber, you know. But anyway,
yeah, right. So. They're actually putting lumber inside bales of cocaine.
That's right.
The opposite way around.
They're smuggling lumber in from Canada. People, those damn Canadians.
Got any lumber in there? No, just cocaine.
That's
okay,
it.
You can pass.
Okay, you guys
can
go through.
It's okay, it's just drugs.
Wow, the kids are jacking ATMs. Right. They could just get one of these trucks.
Exactly.
Wow.
Right.
Wow, it's almost the price of gold. So it's coming down. You think it'll be half of what it was at the peak at some point?
I think it'll probably end up being under half of what it's been at its peak, and we're looking at probably. Looking at probably July of this coming year.
So next month?
No, next year.
Oh.
Yeah.
And
it's
just
still,
half?
It's still hovering at $1,000 per thousand at a mill rate, okay?
Now, you know,
so you've got to get it down to about $500, $600 for it to be back to where it should be.
We're talking about lumber with Joe the Lumber Guy. I'm going to give you the Chaz Economist theory here. You could. Everyone has moved.
Correct.
Right. Everyone has, like, everyone.
Yes.
It's musical chairs.
It is.
With the entire planet. Everyone's moving, doing some improvements.
Like a chess game.
You could only do so much of that. It's going to end, and it's going to be like a truck stopping, and you guys are going to have all this lumber because you're upping the production, upping the, let's get it over. And then you're going to be sitting on this stuff, you're going to say, please take my 2x4.
Where's my 2x4?
Where's my 2x4? Please take it.
We do things a little bit more scientifically, but we do look at, you know, trends and stuff, and we do look at the slowdown on housing starts, and basically, you know, you're as a lumber dealer, okay, you're looking at, you know, an order file you have and what you normally have to have on hand to supply demand, and when you start to see demand slowing down, then you start to slow down your purchases, okay? And in the same sequence, the mills will do the same thing. If they don't have an order file, okay, they're not just going to run logs for the sake of running them through the mill to make sawdust.
Right.
So, you know, there is a science behind it and stuff, but we are going to start to see the prices coming down and stuff. And unfortunately, it's been not only on the lumber side of things, but on the pressure-treated side of things, and even on the composite decking side of things, and you know, windows and stuff. I mean, you know, you want to buy windows? Yeah, fine. They're 6 to 10 weeks, depending on the brand. I mean, you know, it's been a real tough thing for the builders themselves to be able to coordinate everything.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you've had to be almost a, you know, you've had to do a lot more listening. You've had to do a lot more lending of a hand and, you know, keeping people on top of what's going on. And then, you know, you get a transportation delay. It throws a monkey wrench into the whole thing. So,
what do you think, Joe, like if someone had plans to build a house, right, and they had all the prices all lined up.
Right.
Let's say a 3,400 square foot house.
Yeah.
Right? Big one.
Yeah.
Right. And they had everything all lined up, and then they waited. The pandemic came, and then now they were to build that same house. What would it have costed before the pandemic and then now?
Basically, you probably would have been $50,000 less before the pandemic and probably 50 to 60 more after it.
Wow. So when you see a trailer with an in-ground pool behind it, you know what happened.
That's crazy, man.
It's a nice trailer.
It is.
Though, yeah.
And what's sad is that it's not, you know, based on what you're saying, we're never going to see the prices we saw just a couple of years ago.
They'll be within range, but they're never going to be quite that low again.
Well, if it goes up 400% and then it only goes down half, we still doubled, right?
I'm thinking, Chaz, that it'll probably, before the pandemic, okay, lumber was trading at about $400 or $500 a thousand. I'm figuring that once this thing settles itself down, that $400 or $500 per thousand mill rate, okay, will probably be somewhere around 6 to 7, okay? And that'll fluctuate depending on the time of the year, depending on supply, demand, and everything else. Normally, in the course of a year, you'll have lumber move up, okay, anywhere from 15 to 20%, give or take, okay, and settle itself back down.
Let me check the Morning Wood Report.
The Morning Wood Report.
Yeah, that's it. That's what we call it.
Is there a type of wood that is easier to get or more cost-effective to use?
The you know, most of the framing material that's out there across the United States or in the Northeast Southern yellow pine is usually used more for deck and stuff because it takes the treatment much easier than fir or spruce. But your two major species of framing material for stick framing houses is either Douglas fir or spruce. Yeah. There's some limited production. There's production of both in the United States, but there's bigger production in Canada and stuff. And, you know, the Canadians are, you know, they've got their own separate problems with the pandemic and wildfire and bug infestation and stuff. So, you know, we're all struggling through it together.
You think balsa wood airplanes will cost more now?
Oh, yeah.
These used to be 25 cents. Now they're 10 bucks.
Let me put it to you this way, okay? If Noah came into the yard and wanted to build the ark, we'd all be drowned.
Exactly right. A bunch of animals treading water.
Yeah, the animals would be treading water, let me tell you.
Hey, Joe, hold on. We're going to go to Jim in Waterbury, then we're going to wrap up. Jim?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the real numbers on framing lumber is $65,000 last year to build a 3,500 square foot house just in lumber. The real numbers are now $135,000 for that same house with just lumber.
Holy crap.
That's not to mention all the other things you need in the house.
That's right.
Wait, it's just lumber.
That's right. Just the lumber.
Just lumber.
Ugh.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, the demand, it's really, so all the forestry companies are still getting the same number for raw lumber, timber, that they did in the 60s. The prices have never changed for the forestry companies.
Really?
Yeah, that's correct.
Wow.
But, you know, listen,
so it's the
all
mills.
Hedging. They're
so
all
it's
hedging.
The mills down the line. So yeah. The guys would, wow.
That's right. The timber.
That's a tough timber. One to swallow if you're the guys like taking these trees down and
exactly.
Getting them to the mill, you're still making the same money?
Right, screwed.
Same money, but, you know, listen, they're hedging on it all, and the same thing is with the oil. So they're going to hedge on whatever they can. And the fact that there was no production for 3 months, no inspections and so forth. So here we are.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
Bunch of angry lumberjacks.
Wow, I'd be pissed.
I would be too.
Yeah, that's what he's referring to as stumpage costs is what he's talking about and stuff. And, you know, like I say, you know, lumber's traded as a commodity, and you get people, look at what gold's done, okay? Right. You get people that are trading commodities, and they see, you know, a supply-demand issue. They're driving it right back up.
You know, but I have so many big takeaways from this last few minutes.
Yes.
But man, those forest people, they got to be just pissed.
Yep, and they have axes and chainsaws.
Right down where we're bringing this to you. And right. Look at all those rich people over there.
Yeah, they
made their money on our wood.
Right. You know, driving the same truck from 20 years ago. Yep.
All right, Joe, thanks for coming on, brother. Appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure, guys.
Thank you.
All right, talk to you soon. You would think by watching this process, the people trying to legalize weed are heavy users.
Forgetful?
They're putting things in last minute.
Oh.
They're spending hours droning over piles of paper they know the governor won't sign.
Does a gravy stain on it?
Can you picture some scenario where you take like a can out of your recycling bin and then talk about it for like 3 hours? Like, well, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
It's going back in the garbage.
Exactly.
So this is what's been happening. And yesterday I thought, wow, I really got to hand it to them. I thought this was a sure thing. And they screwed it up. Congratulations.
They blew it. Nice. Way to go.
It's like, wow, this one was easy.
Applaud yourself.
You guys have taken screw ups to a whole new level.
Yes.
Let's debate something in the Senate for hours that we know he's not going to sign, he being the governor. And then we'll send it to the House.
Right.
And let them talk about it. Let them fix it. Then it'll
complete waste of time.
Yeah.
How to waste time.
Okay. So yesterday we thought, wow, this actually might die.
Yeah.
The House fixes it. They vote on it. Now it goes back to the Senate. So what the hell happened? Let's talk to someone who was in the House yesterday talking about it, debating it. Vincent Candelora, District 86. It's Durham, Guilford, North Brantford, and Wallingford. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
Morning.
Good. What the hell?
He's untired.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought I saw everything being in the legislature for 15 years, but this one did take the cake. The Senate is now going to be voting on that bill for the third time in less than a week.
What is it? Is it the speaker can't keep the squirrels in line?
Yeah, I mean, what's happened is, like, that bill was written behind closed doors. I had some concerns with...
We're having a little bit of a hard time hearing you. Mouthpiece, please.
Yeah, I have it in my mouthpiece.
Durham's a tough... Are you in Durham right now?
I'm in North Brantford.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. Is there a cell tower nearby you could stand under?
Yeah, that might be the problem.
Oh, see.
All but, you know, basically, there was concerns over who was profiting off of the marijuana and how the definitions are written. So, as I said, it was always a fight about the money, and that's sort of what had happened. We had different people in the room writing it for certain people could benefit. The last version was giving preference to convicted drug dealers, which didn't make the governor happy. So
it doesn't make sense. I kind of feel like I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it so it's not just all giant companies making the money.
Right.
But why would that be the way you do it? Why couldn't you just say people who have lived in the state for over whatever? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's constitutional issues if you limit it certain ways, but it's going to be tough. I mean, I think the big business, like in every state, is going to come in and probably be the beneficiaries of this product. And that was the problem. And I think I understand what people are trying to do, and I agree with them. I think putting it on steroids and letting a lot of money come in could be dangerous, and it's better off being sort of Main Street business. And that's what they were trying to get to, but I'm not sure.
They didn't get there, though, right? The version that you guys passed does not have that in there.
Sort of.
The version that you have is a version that the governor will sign, right?
It is, and it allows for sort of equity owners, so people that are earning about $200,000 or less could have the ability to get in the market. But, you know, they're going to end up teaming up with big business. So it's just going to be difficult.
I see. So they get in because they're eligible.
Yeah.
And then they say, hey, big business, what's it worth to you to come into business with me?
That's right. They get swallowed up.
Yeah. All right. Well, so you guys voted on something that the governor, you feel, will sign. Now it goes to the Senate. How does this work? Do they have to debate this for hours now?
They could, although it was funny. The second time they debated it, they incorporated all their comments from the first time they debated it into the record. So I imagine now when they go for the third time,
oh, great.
They can incorporate all of their comments from the last two times, yeah. And that might shorten the debate.
That's good. So you go around the room. Yeah, remember what I said last time?
Oh, yeah. Put that in there.
Right.
Yeah. Ditto for me. Done.
Me too.
Right. Well, that, 7 minutes.
That's something else I didn't know we could do. So go sit there.
All right, cool.
Wow. So all these new things happening.
Right.
Okay. Well, while you guys are debating this, are you saying, you know, we shouldn't put that in there because the Senate's never going to pass it or the governor's never going to sign it? So was that part of your thinking as you're – I mean, you're just saying no all the way through, right? But, like, the conversation that was going on in the House, was that based on what you thought the Senate would vote on, would be acceptable to them?
Yeah, I mean, that happens a lot of time with bills. You know, the House could agree on something, and we say, no, we can't put that in because the Senate's not going to agree.
Right.
But one thing the House did was they adjourned Sine Die, which means kind of an FU, we're not coming back in. So if you change this, it's going to die. So they've really restricted the Senate's ability to do anything but vote up or down.
And, you know, you guys know what's going to happen. I mean, what's going to happen?
Yeah, I think it's going to pass, and I think, there's absences because people are on vacation right now, but I think it'll pass by at least 4 or 5 votes.
That's close. Wow. So you say think because you've seen their incredible ability to screw up a sure thing before. So you're like, all right, this seems like a sure thing, but
he's hedging his bets here.
I don't want to guarantee
it. The legislature, I thought we were done by now. I never imagined we would be voting a week after we were supposed to be.
When do they vote on that? Is that today? Does that happen today?
Yeah, they actually got called back in late last night for 9:30 this morning. So we'll probably see a vote today.
Interesting. Because to me, the timing would be you'd want the governor to sign it today because Friday you lose the news, you lose the wow factor in the weekend.
Yeah,
no one pays attention to the news. So you'd want him to sign it today. Do you think that could happen on this timeline? If they come in at 9:30, they vote on it, you think the governor could sign it before the 5 o'clock news cycle today?
I think at 4:20 would be cool.
I don't think he would be able to. They could immediately transmit it to him, which is a procedure. Otherwise, it has to go to the Secretary of State, and it could take up to 3 weeks for him to sign it.
Oh, wow.
So it's next week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Gotcha.
But I've
heard things were voted on. What was it? The last thing that was a big deal. It was voted on like on a Wednesday, and he
signed
it.
Religious exemption for vaccines. Yeah, they have to immediately transmit it. So if they make a motion to transmit it immediately, then he could sign it. And I'm not sure procedure they'll do that.
All right. So it doesn't sound like it'll be today. It'll be next week or whatever.
But I stopped trying to predict what the hell goes on.
Yeah, really?
Yeah,
I gave a long time ago. That's a good move. I hear you.
That is a smart one.
Yes, it is.
All right, and you're not for this. You think it's going to be a mess? Do you hear that Colorado guy? That guy that the Colorado lawyer that was the architect for that Amendment 64 or whatever? He said, our amendment looks a lot like what you're doing over there, and it's a mess.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of problems with the bill. There's labor agreements in there that might be unconstitutional. So I think you're going to see lawsuits. It's getting closer, I think, where Republicans would support it. We ran an amendment on the floor to kind of fix a lot of different provisions that got broad support from the Republicans. So it's getting there, but I will pretty much predict that we're going to be back next year trying to fix that bill.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's all right.
Right. At least we know now. At least we know
now. It's like a race car. You know, run it a couple of laps, bring it in,
right,
and tweak
it. That's right.
Yeah. What is your what's your prediction for, like, if anything could go wrong with this? Like, you put this out, we legalize weed. Like, what was your hesitation? It's going to make, too much money, too much weed. Colorado. Smells like weed.
It does.
We just,
right.
We
constantly.
It's a new slogan now.
A friend just came back. He says, wow, that state smells like weed everywhere.
Everywhere.
Every day.
I mean, that's what people are going to hate. You know, everybody wants it, but when they're waiting in line to get into a restaurant. They're going to smell it when they're going grocery shopping. So that's one of the things I think people aren't going to be happy about.
Makes you hungrier.
Yeah, you know.
No, it's a good point.
Restaurants like it.
We're not picturing that part of it.
Right.
Right.
Wow.
And you know, it's sort of ironic. Like I pointed out, in our parks now, we're banning alcohol in our state parks because we can't get our arms around the bad behavior and the patrolling. But weed is going to be a good idea to add that in with the alcohol. So it'll be interesting to see.
You know, I haven't smoked in a long, long, long time. But my experience has been alcohol does do something to people generally where they want to fight. And
right.
Not all, but, you know, it has the ability to
beer
do
muscles.
That. To people who are already angry, you're just cranking that
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
And I feel like weed does the opposite.
Yeah, it does.
No?
Folks, chill, not kill.
Yeah, I mean, the higher THC is probably going to put people, you know, onto the park benches and sleeping. You're probably right, but we'll see.
All right. Interesting stuff. All right, Vince, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Sure, no problem. Take all care. Right.
You too, man. Stay awake.
Yeah.
Sounds tired.
Vincent Candelora, member of the Connecticut House of Representatives. They passed a weed bill they believe will get through the Senate and to the governor's desk and be signable.
That's the pot talking.
He voted no, but that's the weed talk. AJ, you had a brilliant idea in there. We have to get the governor on the phone. If they have not thought of this, he has to sign it at 420.
420, come on, man. Symbolic.
Yes.
Wear a tie-dyed shirt.
Play some Bob Marley. It'd be perfect.
Right.
Exactly.
Oh, that would be good.
Smooth.
Set the scene.
Yeah.
Put him in one of those, like,
that tie-dye t-shirt the governor was wearing at that Woodstock Fest.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Right. Break it out.
Yeah. You mean Ned Stock?
Yeah, Ned Stock.
Ned Stock.
Ned Stock.
Oh, that'd be great.
Go for it.
Some flip-flops or...
exactly. Maybe not those, so for you.
Birkenstocks.
Right. Those.
Birkenstocks. Yeah.
That.
Or the hemp shoes they make. The hemp
shoes. Have to have like a leather like bracelet.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Get your wide.
Maybe put like a...
Get your weed.
Right. You know, put some kind of hat, like a Rasta hat.
Yeah, Rasta hat.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Going to sign up here, man.
No, like the press conference begins and it's just all you see is smoke.
Yes.
And then a fan comes on. And the smoke clears.
Governor.
And there's the governor.
Right.
And the whole bill was written on rolling papers.
Nice.
That's why it's so many pages.
And a pizza party afterwards. Oh, those meat pies.
What?
I love those.
What?
The meat pies. The Jamaican meat pies. Oh,
oh
so good.
Beef patties.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So freaking good.
Oh, we got here.
Rolling the compass.
I'm a star.
Hello, Governor. Any news on Lenny Kravitz touring, Jimmy?
No. No news on Lenny Kravitz.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. In less than an hour, we'll be talking to Greta Van Fleet. I'm going to tell them they're playing Bridgeport. They've been all around the world.
Yes.
And when they go to their dressing room and they hang out backstage, they're going to say, I've never seen anything like this before in my life.
This is awesome.
Yes.
Right.
And I say, remember the radio guy who told you that.
Exactly.
And there's only a few tickets left to that show. The second show.
Yeah.
Right, for the second show. Yeah. Less than 1,000.
Andre and Derby.
What's up, Jimmy? How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Doing okay. Quick question. They got a new album out, and I haven't seen them in Connecticut for a while. When's Duran Duran coming around?
They're going to come around in 22, and we're talking about either the Amphitheater or Mohegan Sun, one of the two.
Nice.
Meaning the Amphitheater in Bridgeport, not the one in Hartford.
Gotcha. Awesome. Good to know.
All right. Thank you, Andre.
Cool. Thanks. See ya.
Still around.
From the text.
All right. This is from Tony. He said, I heard a rumor that tailgating was not allowed in the parking lot of the new amphitheater. Could you please ask Jimmy?
Never believe rumors.
There you go.
Okay.
End of that one.
And Jimmy, I can guarantee you 100% Jimmy will not be walking through the parking lot taking your stuff.
No, he will not.
No, unless you're underage.
Right.
But no. Look, I believe in the concert experience. You know, that's part of the concert experience is tailgating.
Right.
And the parking there in Bridgeport will be all of those, the acres and acres of the flat parking lot right out front. And then there's the parking garage as well, right?
Yes. Behind the amphitheater is the parking garage that's next to the arena. And then we have about 1,000 spots in front of the venue, also the flat lots.
And the ferry bringing you back and forth from Long Island.
Plenty of access.
Yeah.
I'll be on it.
Steve in Madison.
Hey, morning, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I got a question, Jimmy. I don't know. Is the Peter Wolf show at the Kate and Old Saybrook, is that your show?
No, but I might go there.
Yeah, I was just curious. I know it's a small venue, but the day they went on sale, I went on, and they only had a scattered tickets. I was lucky enough to get a couple in the balcony, but it just seemed like they were all gone before they even went on sale.
Yeah, it's a very small venue. It's a beautiful venue. It's a very small venue, and Peter could probably play close to a week there if he wanted to.
Wow. So you're lucky you got tickets. That's great. Nice job, Steve. Thank you.
Good score.
Brian in Wallingford.
Morning, Brian. Wallingford, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Am I Brian in Wallingford?
No, he's a few minutes.
He's confirming.
Wondering if the Offspring has any touring dates out on the East Coast, relatively close to Connecticut.
No, we haven't heard of them touring on the East Coast. Love to have them. I'd definitely bring them in. Probably to Oakdale would be my guess.
Oakdale or anywhere outside, I guess. What about the new place in the old Pilot Pen? I forgot what it's called now.
Westville?
Yeah,
we don't book that, but I'm not aware of Offspring playing there.
Well, thanks, guys, and have a great summer.
Thank you.
You too.
Is it cold again to fall?
Shane wanted to know about Europe.
Europe was supposed to tour during 2020. Obviously, they had to cancel. You know, the Geico commercial made him all very big again and very popular.
Yep.
No plans in 2021 at the moment, but if they came around in 2022, I'd put them in Bridgeport.
Oh, nice.
Well, the countdown's on right now.
Yeah. Let's see. Eagles added some shows, I think, to New York City. There's no chance of us getting them in Connecticut?
Not at this point. We've been talking to them about playing up at the XL Center. But right now, they're adding dates in New York, and they're going to see how it goes. And I think you'll see them probably, my guess is, in late 22 in Connecticut.
Maroon 5?
Not playing Connecticut at all.
Okay.
Lindsey Buckingham.
Trying to get Lindsey right now into Oakdale.
We asked you this, but the question keeps coming up, so I'll ask again. Guns N' Roses and Wolfgang touring together. Guns N' Roses coming to Jersey, I think, right? That's as close as they're coming.
Yeah, I think it's Jersey. I think you're right. It's Jersey. They might be playing Fenway. I'm not sure. I think they're playing Fenway also.
A little closer.
Right. Any chance of peeling Wolfgang off for a one-off in Connecticut?
I would absolutely do it if he did it, but I think he's staying on the Guns N' Roses tour for this run. So we'll see what he does after that.
Dave from Union.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, I go by the Bridgeport place down there all the time, and problem being, I'm from Union, Connecticut, not Unionville. We're the last town up in Connecticut in the Northeast. What big shows are going to be coming to the Xfinity? I mean, I would love to go to Bridgeport on a Friday or Saturday, but it's a 2.5-hour drive. So, I mean, Jimmy, you guys got anything going on in Hartford?
Your phone is loud, Dave, so just listen to the radio here, and I'm going to let you go. Thank you for calling, and thank you for listening. Jimmy?
Yeah, we certainly have big shows going on in Hartford. I could certainly mention them if you want me to.
There is this thing called the
Internet.
I tend
not to really promote my own shows because I think that's sort of rude. That's why I'll answer shows for any promoter that's going to Connecticut. But we've got Disturbed coming in. We've got Luke Bryan coming in, Black Crowes, Korn and Stained, Thomas Rhett, Kiss is coming in, Alanis Morissette, Dead and Company's coming in, Jonas Brothers, Florida Georgia Line, Slipknot. So there are a lot of shows.
Speaking of Slipknot,
yes,
I don't want to slip here, but during COVID, you told me that a very big show was coming to Hartford. It hasn't been announced yet. Is that still happening?
Yep.
Okay. Cool. When do you think that would be announced?
It's going to be announced beginning of July, the location of this very big show, and then we'll go on sale mid to late July with the tickets.
Very exciting. That's one of those shows where the world will say, wow.
Really?
The world.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
So, All right. I'm going to be talking to Wolfgang Van Halen, if all things go well, later today, and then we'll play it back either Friday or
tomorrow's Friday.
Tomorrow's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Friday,
yep.
Yeah. Right. Or next week or whatever. But I'm going to ask her, and Jimmy, I told Jimmy during the break, he says, ask him if he's going to play any Van Halen songs. I said, of course. Now, Axel had to sign off on Wolfgang Van Halen playing an opening for them for Guns N' Roses. And it seems like Axel would have trouble being upstaged. And if Wolfgang were to play even the opening chorus to any Van Halen song,
yeah,
the place
kills.
Would go bananas.
Yeah.
Do you think, have you ever heard of a scenario where a band said, you could open for us, but
don't be good.
This is how the rules, this is how it's going to go.
Right.
B-sides only.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've heard it a lot, and it's interesting. I've actually seen where bands won't let the opening act use their lights, only gives them 10 feet on stage, and also at times affect their set list and what they're going to play.
Wow.
Interesting.
Damn.
Because I have a feeling that would be something Axel would do. I don't know, but just seeing how the thing...
Well, every once in a while, you get John Mellencamp playing with Pat Benatar, who sings I Need a Lover.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. So he gets that one, right?
You got it. You got it right. He gets it.
Yep. It's all his.
Yeah.
John Mellencamp.
All right, Jimmy, thank you for coming on. And, you know, I feel like anytime something breaks, you can just call in. You know, we don't need to wait until Thursday.
Okay, you know what? I'll talk to Boss today because we will have some announcements coming earlier than on Thursday because we generally announce on Monday and go on sale Friday.
Feel free. We can't get enough Jimmy Koplik here.
No,
so if you wanna,
that's great. I appreciate it.
If you want to call in and, you know, I know that they get announced at 10, but if you want to call in a little bit early and say something is about to happen,
yeah,
we'd love
it. Yeah, I'm on a different time zone, that's all.
Exactly.
I made a mistake.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm on Chaz and AJ time zone.
Right, exactly.
Right, I was in Texas when I made the call.
That's
Oops.
Brilliant.
I don't know if that works.
I didn't even think of that.
Now, but yeah, all right, Jimmy. Thank you, brother. A woman in Ohio wanted McDonald's employees to mix all three slushy flavors in one cup.
Okay.
So that's something that a stoner might do.
There's the blueberry,
however,
raspberry.
Her reaction to them not doing it is what's...
What made this.
What made this.
Not touch my boss.
Sorry, I've
been up all day.
I'm sorry, I'm
sorry.
Not touch my boss.
Get out!
God assaulted her. She could put you in jail.
Go ahead.
You hit me and her. You go to prison.
Then I'll go to prison.
Don't touch my boss again.
Whatever.
Don't come back here. Get out of here. Call the cops.
They're right here.
Call them.
Wait, what did that person say in the background? Everybody just go back to what?
Call them.
She's hitting my voice.
To the footprint?
Everybody just go back to the footprint.
Oh, the thing we got to stand.
That's where I heard.
Oh, really? Yeah, those footprints.
I don't know.
That's good.
Yeah. I don't know.
Everyone go back to your footprint.
I think he said, everybody go back to the footbridge.
Right, footbridge. Oh, the McDonald's famous footbridge.
Yeah.
Everybody just go back to work, please.
Oh. I thought he said Oak Ridge.
There's two people talking at the same time.
Footprints.
I heard Oprah's.
I heard Oak Ridge.
Go back to Oprah's.
I don't know. I can't speak all of a sudden,
McDonald's!
So I'm the wrong person.
Happy Bill!
She's hitting my voice.
Wait, what was it? Yeah. Everybody go back to the Oak Ridge.
Right.
Where is the Oak Ridge?
We're going to hear it if you keep talking
All
over
right.
it.
All right.
Yep.
I hear everybody just go back to work, please.
That's interesting.
Footprints.
I know this customer's punching you in the face,
right.
but get back to work.
Exactly, right. That's not the McDonald's way.
That's definitely the manager.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Right.
Hey, you know, I know why. Look, your hands are free while you're getting punched in the face. Can you ring this other one out?
Exactly right.
Call her.
She's hitting my voice.
Hey. Ain't talking about food.
Ain't talking about lunch. My lunch is right into the core. Ain't talking about lunch.
Hey.
I just jumped on the floor.
Hey.
I like that second guy just jumps in. He's just like, oh, yeah, I know this one.
Right. I know this one.
Hey. Is that Tina coming through?
No. That was James Brown.
Close.
Get some rhythm, man. Hey, it's premature haying.
Yeah. They go faster than the song.
Yeah, they do.
You gotta be a little late. No, not that late. Go back.
I think you gotta eliminate the first guy.
Yeah.
And go.
Yeah screw
eliminate
him.
The first head.
Yeah, go with two other guys.
Yeah. Now I want to go to that McDonald's and start punching people.
Seriously. Hey, hey. Yeah, we're good.
What the hell?
Right?
You know, maybe those McDonald's workers have something about that minimum wage thing. They have to deal with people like this.
Yep.
I want my Slurpee colors mixed. No.
Just do it. Why? Like, why make a fight
over
that?
It's not unusual.
Really? No, you don't do it at McDonald's. Sonic, they do.
Just mix them. I do it everywhere. Who cares?
They don't do it at McDonald's.
No, but then somebody wants mayonnaise on there. You're going to do that? No.
What, for French fries? This is not mayonnaise.
You're at McDonald's.
We have plenty
of it. This is not a five-star restaurant. We're not, like, here to just get your freaking... This is why it's fast food, because we don't do special things.
Right.
Look it. The menu is right here.
Exactly.
Very simple.
It's plastic chairs and food handed out the window.
It's $1.99 menu.
How far do you have to move that Slurpee glass, though, to get the other flavor? Like 3 inches, 4 inches?
But you know what? Now you're doing that for this person. This person wants this.
It takes time.
That person wants that. Now,
right.
I'm waiting a half an hour at McDonald's.
Yeah, it's taking time. It's all about speed, precious, speed.
Speed.
Speed, precious, speed.
You are precious.
Thank you. Appreciate that. You mean it in a good way, right?
Speed, precious, speed,
exactly.
Speed.
Right. Exactly.
It's another T-shirt.
When you're sitting behind the other person in the hot weather and you want, oh, good, you got the tri-colored freaking thing? No. You get one color, hand it to them, get the hell out of the way.
I just thought of a great bit.
Uh-oh.
We're going to.
So every time you say like, a great bit, it means me in pain.
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you.
Yes and yes.
Oh, no.
We're going to get a court stenographer to write down what you say. And then at the end of the week, we're going to have it read back.
Oh. In that case, I'm going to get
I want to see what words they write for some of these sounds you make that you think are words.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.